Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Penny Lane Podcast. Today, Blaine is joined by Anthony Crudelli to discuss longevity in the market and how to find it, handling the ups and downs, managing emotions, and much, much more in this absolutely packed episode. Today's show is brought to you by the Personify app, Magic Mind, Espinita Tequila, and Last Bottle Wine. Make sure you subscribe over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on YouTube. Enjoy.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the Penny Lane Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on, and I owe you such a debt of gratitude for helping me with my eye twitch.
Oh, did it work?
Yeah, I really loaded up on the magnesium. It was the max dose. I had had too much caffeine, and it took like 3.5 weeks, really, for it to go away. But you had said in your tweet that it was stress, or yours had been stress related. Yes. And it was a very stressful time. I was very stressed. But telling yourself this is a stress issue does not really alleviate the stress. So I had to kind of deal with that.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that worked. I remember one time where I think I was tweeting about this. It was many years ago. And I said, besides this eye twitching right now, which I got to get checked out because it's driving me crazy. I said, everything's going good. And one of the people that followed me, I think it was an eye doctor, and he goes, Anthony, he sent me a DM, and he goes, that's most of the time related to stress. And he goes, you want to check your magnesium level. So I too found that out from Twitter. And I think most people know my story that I had a heart attack at 36. And one thing that I recognize a lot is that when my magnesium is low, or even like my potassium, and every time I go in to the doctor, he's always like, you know what, man, make sure you're taking enough magnesium and potassium. My body just burns through it, and it's a stress-related thing. So I'm so glad it worked out for you.
Thank you for telling me that. I did not know that you had a heart attack, but I mean, are you willing to talk about that? We just came off an episode with a trading psychologist where I went through my own heart history in that podcast, and I have had like some heart issues as well, and I went to the Mayo Clinic for a few weeks, and it's,
oh really?
Anyway, I understand about heart issues. Were you trading at the time?
Yeah, I was trading. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was trading crude oil, and I started having pain actually the night before. And I woke up that morning and I was just very uncomfortable. I didn't sleep well. Then the pain went to my shoulder, to my bicep, into my wrist. And I was like, this is so crazy. Like, how is this? Am I really having a heart attack? I'm 36 years old. So I ended up just running next door. I was right next to a Walgreens, took some Bayer aspirin, and then drove right to the hospital. And I walked in and I'm like, look, and I'm like, I'm having chest pain. They had went through all these tests, everything. My blood pressure wasn't even that high. They went through, chest x-rays. At the time, for like the first hour, they didn't really seem to think I was having a heart attack. But then when they got my blood back, they saw that my enzymes had spiked. And that's how they recognized it. Then they came in, took me for a cath, and found out that I didn't have any blockages, which was obviously, at the time, I was thankful for that. But the doctor was like, I really can't do much to treat you. He's like, you have one that's like very minimally blocked. And he's like, for a 36-year-old guy, there's just nothing I can do for you. He's like, I couldn't even stent it, whatever that word is.
Yeah.
So it turned out that I just had basically what they think, because they can't really tell you, is I had a coronary spasm. And they think what possibly happened is that part of the plaque got broke off in one of my arteries, or I just had like a quick blood clot or something happened. And that's why I had the pain. So I was treated with medication for like a year or two, and just really, the doctor just goes, he goes, you need a lifestyle change, man. He's like, you're too stressed out. Calm down. So that's really why I'm very conscious of things like eye twitching, which I recently had to. I started taking my magnesium more again and it went away. So this business is hard. It's hard on the body.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So you must have been the person that wrote the tweet. Like, I was 36 years old and had a heart attack when I was sitting at my desk trading. That had to have been your tweet. Anyway, I saw that tweet, and as a heart person, that really got to me. And I was like, I need to, like, figure this out. You know, it's weird for women, really, to have the same, like, heart-related stuff as men. I feel like it's more male, I guess. But it is, it's not great for me to be in super stressful environments, too. And I, that tweet really, I took it to heart. It's a real thing, you know, oh, yeah. And what stress can do to your body is a very real thing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I just celebrated my 45th birthday. So for me, it was 9 years ago. And it's something you think about every day, you know, every day.
Sure.
You never forget about it.
I was saying in the last episode that I have had so many, like, heart tests and think I also had, I have two babies, and when I was pregnant, I had preeclampsia and all, like, high blood pressure. And they, you know, there was, like, the possibility of a stroke. There was all kind of stuff. And I now have we were talking about PTSD when we were talking about it. And now if I even feel my heart beat funny, it, like, sets off something of, like, is my heart, you know, if I lay on it in bed weird, it, like, can beat kind of funny. And then I'm like, I don't think it's something you ever forget.
No, I'm the same way. It's so funny. Yeah. Like, how you say that. Sometimes I'll eat something and then I'll lay down and then you feel like it's your heartbeat that's racing and you really realize it's kind of your stomach, you know, and then you start to get used to what's what. And for years, it really, I was kind of like a hypo with it. You know, I was worried about everything, hand sanitizer, all that stuff. I've gotten completely away from it because at some point, you know, I really started to get into just a better routine. And at the end of the day, I look at it and say, all I can do is all I can do is control what I can control. And so I'm with you in the sense of, like, when certain things are happening, yeah, you can get, you know, it feeds anxiety. I think that's what it is. And I'm somebody who suffered from anxiety at an early age too, also because of trading. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to calm yourself down and you realize after you've been through something like I've been through and you've been through, if it is serious, you really do recognize it. And when it's something that's just, like, kind of, you know, maybe a little bit that is bothering you, but it's not something that's serious, I think you eventually learn to just cope with it and calm yourself down. It's funny, a minute or two later, you're better about it. But I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yep. And it's, you know, funny enough, I've had all the tests done that you can possibly have on your heart. And, like, they can't find anything really wrong with my heart. Like, it is a stress situation. I just, like, have kind of created the problem out of stress. But it's sort of similar, it feels like, to you. Like, that, I'm not trying to say that what you went through wasn't horrible. I'm just saying, like, that does seem like kind of best case. If you're going to have a heart attack, that seems like best case scenario, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I think that people start to realize as traders is that it impacts the body, right? And how stress impacts your body. And we put so much pressure on ourselves. It's all self-induced, just like anything. You know, it doesn't matter what business you're in. You know, we're talking about trading because that's what we do. But the amount of pressure we put on ourselves to perform, and when we're not performing and we feel like we're failing and we're losing money. So it's not like we're putting time in and building something and saying, hey, you know what? I may not be making money right now, but I'll be making money later. Yeah, maybe, you know, so, and as you're losing money, it's just even more pressure. So it's a very, you know, difficult thing to deal with. And it puts a lot of pressure on your body that you just didn't realize. You know, that's why I talk a lot about balance and things like that. And I used to say, you know, work hard, play hard. That's what we did when we were on the trading floor. But I realized that that was only to my detriment, you know. And I was never really a really party hard kind of guy. I was out quite a bit, but I always controlled myself. And now it's about working hard and playing easy to counter it. You know, put yourself in situations where you are lowering your blood pressure. You are taking, you know, time to look outside and just do things where your focus is completely on something else. And that's the healing time. And I think that's a very important thing for people to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, God, especially what has happened in the last, what is it, 2020? So the last 2 years of the market, like, I think it's so much about just the carnage of what it has done to people who came in new to the market, made money, lost money, owe taxes or don't owe taxes, blew up their account. Yeah, I mean, it has been the cruelest equalizer to people who don't know what they do. And now, you know, I've only been trading 2 years, so I'm not judging. It has been incredibly cruel. And it feels to me like if from everything I've read and understand, I think it's like 95% of people don't make it in the market. And then of the 5% who do, a large majority of that are making like minimum wage, but successfully trading. So to do in the market what people dream that they can do in the market, it must be like 1% of people who are able to do it. But the false sense of confidence that people got in 2020 is to have a rug pulled out from under you, like that is life-changing and harming your health kind of stress. It just seems decimating to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things I like to talk about there. First off, the market is great at training people bad habits. It's awesome. It's just excellent at it. So, you know, when I came into this business in the mid-90s, all of the traders I learned from learned how to just really be long. I came onto the trading floor in 95, and all of the locals, the traders I learned for, were really good long traders. And because that's just the way that the market went. You know, it was a slow grind up. I mean, the S&P obviously didn't move like it does now. And it was just a market where it just kind of went up. So one of those, you know, things that we learned was just always really be, you're always looking really almost for a long type scenario until 2000 came. And obviously that changed things. And until you go through certain cycles and see how fast things can change. I mean, it was basically this year is a reverse of last year. We're grinding lower like we grinded higher. So it's rewarding the short side the way that the longs were being rewarded. And it's hard to imagine that that's the way it could be for this long. And it just is that way. And it's hard to adjust and adapt to it. And I've been doing this for a long time. And I can tell you, even for me, it's very difficult, you know, because it just is, because psychologically you get trained to think that something's going to work. And then in the back of your mind, you keep thinking that that's how you made money. So that's how you're going to go back and continue to make money. But the markets don't work like that. You know, there's certain skill sets that you'll learn along the way that you'll carry over, but environments are very different. And that's why I've always said you make money in moments. And going back to like last year, people will go back and learn and say, well, when I get that situation or that moment again, I have to make as much as I can. And when it gets like this, they know that they're going to give some back, but they won't give as much back. And they'll exist through this time long enough to where another moment comes back, maybe not just like the prior year, but something similar. And that's hard to swallow when maybe you didn't make enough money to withstand it. So that's a difficult thing. And I think that goes kind of to where you say 95% of the traders fail. I'm one of these people that says I don't believe in that stat, the reason why is because it's not that traders fail; it's just that they fail to make as much as they need to or want to make. So there's this world of people out there that make it seem like they can make a lot of money with a little bit of money, and in the scheme of things, that's just not how the world works, right? And in trading, it appears to be that way, right? Like, hey, I'm going to put in $5,000 into this account and I could turn that into $500,000. And it seems appealing, you know, that's possible. But let's face it, that's a very unrealistic expectation, because How often can anyone do that in any business? You know, I mean, if you have a $5,000 account and at the end of the year you have $6,000, you did well, right? But that's not enough for people. So it's not that they can't make money, it's just that they can't make a living doing this. They can't make as much as they wanted with the amount that they have. That is, to me, where the biggest disconnect in trading comes in, and where I see so many new traders come through and just don't last, because to do this as a profession, their expectations are just skewed. They're coming in expecting a lot with not putting up a lot, and that's just not just capital, but it's time as well. So there's a lot to this, to that stat. That stat is probably accurate in the sense that 95% of the people don't carry on through it, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't make money, and it doesn't mean that they weren't making money. It means that they couldn't make enough or weren't making as much as they thought. So that's just the way I feel about it, because let's face it, once you learn something in this market, it's easy to learn how to make money in a sense. Like there's easy to find a good setup that works, but it's a lot easier to give it all back and then some when it doesn't work. So it's kind of like a, you know, it's one of those things where you have to find that balance and say, if I've made some money doing this, how much is enough? How much am I really good to do? And people think that you're going to just make money in one setup forever. I wish that was the case. Like, I have been struggling the last 3 months. It has been brutal. I had a great start to the year, did very well, and since then it's just like I can't pick a winner for my life. And I have had some good days, and I talked about being in a drawdown, but it's like it's just a different market now from what it was just 3 months ago, let alone what it was for how many other times in the past. So hopefully I was clear in the way I feel about both of those things.
Yeah, very much so. And that makes a ton of sense. Like, of course, if you have $5,000 and you end the year with 6,000, like you have succeeded.
Yes.
Of course. And that's honestly how I manage, that's how I finally got my stress under control with trading, was I had to genuinely believe that, like, this is not how I am going to make the money that I need to live off of right now. And once I sort of released that, then like anything was okay. You know, like big losses were not okay. Anything else was like, we are making progress. And my only real goal right now is to just build longevity in the market. Like I'm not trying to triple my account or anything like that. I'm just trying to like survive. So once I took the pressure off the trading, it all sort of like became okay. But I was putting a lot of pressure on myself for a really long time, and it did not breed good habits. And it did not lead to like good trading that could be continued. You know, it was sporadic, erratic. Yeah.
I always say it's about setting the tone. You know, I mean, I know when I am struggling, and I would say as of late, I've been struggling. And the biggest reason why I've been struggling is because my expectations are high again. You know, did well at the beginning of the year. You know, you feel like you're trading with house money, right? You're trying to add to it. You feel like you've done everything right. And then all of a sudden, it's just as like, it's just not enough, right? And you're trying to do more, and then you're adding in bad areas. You know, you're up money, and then you don't take it, and then it's a down, you know, it's a down day. And now you psychologically you're dealing with that, and then the next day you come in and you're like, let me just put a winner up, and then you do, and then that's the day where if you would have really hit them hard, you'd have been okay, and then the next day you do it, and then you're down again. And you know, and I know myself enough to where, like I said, even though I've been doing this for a long time, I find myself getting caught up in the same types of things. That's why I said the market is great at treating you, at tra training you bad habits. Because
Yep.
if you have any success at something, you feel that if you keep doing that, that's what will get you there. And then when it doesn't happen, it's just a massive blow to your ego and to everything. And the mistakes you make following that are where all the real trouble comes in. You know, because a lot of us will find ways to make some money and we'll be good risk managers, and then we'll get ourselves back on pace, and then we'll have a couple of good days and we'll feel like, wow, this is when we should have pressed, or all these different things going on in our mind. And then all of a sudden we just pick the exact wrong day to do the exact wrong thing. And next thing you know, you're just scrambling again. And it's very hard to stay balanced and even keeled for day in, day out. Because sporting events and all these other things, comparing us to athletes, they work up to that. They're to that time, they're competitive for whether it's 4 days for golf if you make the cut, or if it's football every week, or if it's the NBA 3 days a week, or, you know, baseball is probably the exception, or tennis or anything where you're playing not too often. There's a lot of downtime to where they mentally get prepared and wrap their head around what they have to do. Every day we wake up and we have to do it every single day like a professional athlete. And that's not easy. You know, and, right. and we're just normal, all normal people, right? And we're not, and none of us are, you know, superior athletes like these other people. So it's very difficult for us to be able to come in to the marketplace and compete on a high level every day. It's just not possible. So you really have to start learning so much about yourself and understanding environments to be able to navigate through a year, right? And like you said, you're giving yourself time. I think it was this past Christmas or the Christmas before. I think about this every year, and I know that I put this tweet out and a lot of people were talking about it. And I said, give yourself the gift of time this year. You know, don't force things. And I put that out there because it's something I think about all the time, is like, when I start doing bad, understand that if you slow things down, you realize this moment may seem real fast to you, but in the scheme of things, what are you doing? You know, if you want your short-term results to get better, slow down, buddy. So, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. I think that's extremely important, but that shows growth. That's what happens when you've been doing this through kind of that initial learning curve time, that at some point you just have better self-awareness and recognition of the moment. And that to me is, that's what starts to separate that those percentages from those who can continue to do it and for those that don't.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's a huge mindset shift. And I don't know if you saw that I did this, but I did a challenge with Jason Spadafora, the Wolf of Weed Street, where I was trying to make $50 a day on Apple, and then I was trying to make $100 a day, $150, $200, and I was able to do that and like finish the challenge. And then I was feeling like so great that I just went from like $200 a day to $1,000, just like, I didn't build up to it, I mean, it was $1,000. And it was right after Amazon had the bad earnings and was just tanking. And I was just like buying Amazon puts every single, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Amazon, it was Netflix. Netflix had really bad earnings and some bad news, yeah, and was just like plummeting. And just every single day it would pop a little bit open, I would buy puts and it would just bleed. And I mean, I was feeling like, I got it, I figured it out. And then I knew that the moment I had a red day, like things were going to be really bad. But then part of me was like, well, maybe you'll never have a red day again. Maybe you graduated. Maybe, you know, like all the terrible things. And then I lost $1,000 a day on Netflix and then just tumbled direct, like literally lost all the money I'd made in the challenge, got right back down to like where I started and just felt like lower than low. I mean, I felt so bad. And yeah, I was talking to Jason about it and he was like, yeah, everybody does that. Like you can't let that failure like carry on with you, because that is what people do. And it was such a great exercise because it was the first time I had been that consistent for that long. And it taught me how to do that, but just like the greed, you know, I was like, I can make all this. I just like really got out of control, and I'm not saying I'll never do that again, but I learned more from the losing all the money probably than I did about the But I also learned that I could be that consistent. It was a good exercise to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a repeatable pattern because it goes back to expectations. You know, the best year of my career was in 2008. The worst year of my career was in 2009. Now, why was that? Now, the best start of the year I ever had was in 2009. And coming off the best year of my career. Now, 2008, you weren't trading then, but that was the exception year for, it was like an exceptional year for futures traders. It was just off the charts because we all knew the news was bad and the market was just going down all the time. Like every time you see, you know, Moody's is cutting ratings, S&P cutting ratings, you're just smashing the bid in the S&P or NASDAQ and the market just went down. So it was one of those years where I would say, you know, I had been doing this for long enough to really take advantage of something. And at that point, it really put myself up into a whole nother level of making money. And then I get to 2009 and I start off the year and I'm just killing it. You know, I mean, and the third week of the year into the fifth week of the year was the worst losing streak I ever had to this day. And I look back at it and say, well, why and how could that have happened? Why would I give back that much money? How did it happen? And it's that repeatable pattern that you're talking about. I was coming in every day, just disciplined, doing everything right, knowing exactly what to look for and doing it. And then when all of a sudden I started thinking about, I'm going to have another banner year and I'm going to start doing this, I was literally giving back not only the best start to any year that I had, chunks of my prior year. And I look back at that and said, I'll never forget my one friend. He goes to me, he goes, if you don't stop chasing now, you're going to be chasing all year long. I got to even, I think at least twice, probably two or three times. I ended up down for the year where I was at that after that fifth week. So I start off with the strongest year ever. After week five, I never got better from where I was. I made it back, I lost it. I made it back, I lost it. Because once I got green, I'm like, back to my old ways. Boom, I got slammed again.
Yep.
2010, I had to really reevaluate and say, if you keep this up, because now you've made more money, your lifestyle's changed, what do you do? And that's one of the hardest things to do is to go from, you know, a trader who's making a lot of money to accept the fact that you are no longer that trader. That is a hard thing to do. And it's really hard to do for a newer trader who goes from consistently making some money for a period of time to then recognizing in that moment, in that really small window, that the market might have changed and you are no longer going to be consistent in this environment just because things changed a little bit. And don't give it all back. Not easy to do.
Not easy to do. It reminds me so much of something I heard about people who get to PDT and like build up to PDT very, very slowly and then get to PDT and they're just like, I can do anything, like so drunk on power that they immediately blow up their account or whatever instead of like doing the thing that got them to PDT.
PDT is a pattern day trader, right? That's what that is, right? Just making sure. Right. I know. I mean, I trade futures mostly. I do trade a lot. I have been trading quite a bit of stocks lately, but yeah, I understand that. Yeah, because it's that mark that you get to that feels that reward of achievement. Because let's face it, nobody's patting you on the back in this business, right? I mean, right. If you're making money, the only people who know are you and your family, which is great. But you never get any sort of reward or in recognition of your achievement. So when you get somewhere, you feel like empowered. You know, you feel like you have reached something. And that's why this business is so much like that, because it's really just about, and a lot of people will say, trading has to become boring to become successful. I don't believe that in the sense of that you come in, you're not really, you know, excited about it, or it's still not a rush to do this. I think it gets to the point where you have to calm things down to the point where, you know, you're Tiger Woods, right? I mean, you look at the guy and he's just kind of just coasting on the golf course. You look at Tom Brady. I mean, the guy, who do you want throwing the pass in the fourth quarter? Why? Because he's been there before. And if he misses it, he walks away. You don't see him too upset about it. But they're the best at what they do. And for us as traders, we're not to that level that they are at. But you have to learn to kind of just always stay even keeled and to try and continue to do what's working. And when it's not, recognize it fast enough to where you don't burn yourself back. I mean, it's like we say, it's so much easier said than done. I'm still working at it.
Totally. I did not watch the golf that was going on this week. I was busy this week and I wasn't watching, but it does seem like Rory just sort of did that, right? Did he give up a pretty big lead?
Well, you know, this goes to something else I think it's important to talk about. I mean, look at Cam Smith. I was actually going to mention him. He's the one who won the British Open.
Yeah, yeah. I like him.
He's the most even-keeled guy out there, right? I mean, there's a lot of other guys out there like him. You could say Scheffler and Koepka. There's a lot of guys like that. But look at the guys who are winning. That's how they are. They're extremely focused in the moment. So a bad shot, good shot, it's just kind of like they just keep trucking. Doesn't mean they're not emotional about it. It's just that at the moment that they're doing it, they're easily focused on the next trade, the next putt, the next shot, whatever it is. You know, Rory McIlroy started thinking about, in my opinion, you know, winning. And when you start thinking about winning, it gets in the way of the next shot, the next putt. And I'm not speaking for Rory, obviously. I mean, I have no idea what he's thinking. But when you look at what happened, and I watch it pretty closely, it's just like all of a sudden the ball's not rolling in. And he's thinking about, well, I might lose this now. You know, he's only thinking about winning or losing. He's not thinking about executing. And that's really, I find myself in that position a lot. You know, I mean, you find yourself, you know, having a good run. And you finally, you're thinking about either, you know, whatever it is that you're thinking about that you're going to do as your reward in your mind of getting somewhere where you wanted. And all of a sudden your execution sucks. And yep. You're like, why? And it's because you're distracted.
Yep. I was trading this morning and I've been like trading pretty good. And I got into two trades at the open and things like very quickly started devolving at my house. Like a lot of like chaos erupted. I kept getting like some bad news. My husband was texting. There was a mouse in the house last night. Like kind of all of these things were coming. And I was like, I'm about to lose a lot of money. Not just like, it's not, I just like my mind went to, this is what happens when you take a massive loss. And I've done that before. I've just gotten distracted and taken a massive loss. And it's just been outside influences. So I had to like just put in stops above my entry and just be like, I can no longer have any like control over this, which I do think is mature. I have matured versus like I've taken massive losses like that before because I'm just, anyway, I made $38 today. And honestly, I'm like,
that's a win.
It is a win because that could ease, like, 2 or 3 months ago, that could have been a $2,500 loss or something, just like kind of devastating for me. And I, like, you know, I just had to remove myself from it and felt pretty good about it.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, once again, it shows growth. I mean, I think that those are the things that we should be more proud of, those achievements, as to recognizing when to stop and how to recognize a day, not necessarily market environment, but just what's setting up for us. You know, whether it's the phone calls or the text you're getting, or there's something else that's distracting you. A majority of the time when we're going to make a mistake is because we are distracted. Mm-hmm. That's just reality. When we're truly focused and we know exactly what we're looking for, what we want to do, we tend not to make a really bad mistake. But we make the bad mistakes in weak moments. And then that's just the way it is. You know, all of my major mistakes have not come initially after a good trade where, you know, you have that good trade, then bad trade. It's what I did after the bad trade. You know, it's not like I just, you know, made a bunch of money and the next day I just blew it all back. I mean, I've done that too, unfortunately. But majority of the time, it's like a buildup of just me not doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden, a day where I kind of throw the towel in and it just is like, I just get crushed that day. And that's because I've been distracted. You know, it's been compiling. And I wasn't smart enough to walk away and just say, you don't need this right now. You have to come back fresh.
Yeah.
That's such an important component of this. It really is. I mean, we talk about time, and you've got to be around long enough to recognize that. And you also have to recognize that in order for you to be around long enough, you have to recognize that. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Absolutely. That was so important what you just said that I'm actually going to take a commercial break here so we can fully digest what you just said.
Irrational exuberance? When it comes to killer wine at drastically low prices, 30 to 70% off retail and free shipping, we live for that here at Last Bottle Wines. Whether you went long or short on GameStop, you'll need a glass of something terrifically tasty, and we've got the goods. Last Bottle is a daily wine site based in Napa, California. One wine every day at Black Swan event prices, usually 30 to 70% off until, poof, it's gone. Whether you're a pound-the-table type, think ultra-crisp, quaffable Sauvignon Blanc, or a dividend aristocrat, Burgundy, or Napa Cab, there simply is no better place to buy wine on the web, and they always have free shipping. Last Bottle has a deal just for Penny Lane listeners. Use promo code PENNY10 to save 10% on your next order with Last Bottle. The code is good for one order and one order only.
Bo, I'm so excited to tell you something. You know how I've been posting my P&Ls on Twitter and they've been getting so much better?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been using this new product called Magic Mind. And, you know, we're really into like biohacking and making our brains better. And it's full of nootropics. And it is phenomenal. I used to take a ton of Adderall. And then, as you know, I had to stop because I had the heart condition. And this is so much better than Adderall. It is like, I'm so calm. I'm so focused. I'm so efficient. I have been doing things that I've been putting off for years just because they're like on my list and I'm just doing them. You know, I'm not like that. I'm a creative.
So this is the magic sauce, huh?
Yeah. You just take this bottle in the morning. It says it's best to try it for 3 days. And I thought maybe I was having just a placebo effect. So I got my husband on it. He's will not go to work without it. And then I also have my mom on it. I gave her 3 bottles and she called me yesterday and was like, I have to come over and get more bottles just so that I have them before my order arrives. We're all on it. And man, our minds are really popping.
Wow. Sounds like I am missing out.
Yeah, you should try it. Let me tell you how. You can go to magicmind.co/penny, which you can also find at the link in this episode. And if you use the discount code PENNY20, you can get 20% off a one-time order or 40% off a subscription. Now, I would recommend you go ahead and get the subscription, but if you want to try it, that's fine too. And this offer is only good for the next 10 days. So we have to get the whole team on it. Can you imagine how streamlined the podcast will be?
Sounds like a game changer to me. 40% is a lot.
That's a lot. That's a big percent. I really do want to get us all on it so that we can just be like trading superstars and podcast superstars.
Well, I'm going to the website right after this then.
Okie doke. All right. So we're back. Isn't that so funny? So much of trading is a catch 22. It's just for this to happen, then this to happen. It's building such an intricate little, it's Jenga kind of, like, it's just such an interesting thing to build. And the thing that I love about trading so much is that no one is born a good trader.
No, I agree with that 100%.
It's my favorite thing about trading.
Yeah. I mean, no one walks into this with any sort of skill set that sets them above anyone else. No. The only thing I will say that there is something to it, I think, when you come into it, like if you ask me if I looked at a person or knew a person and say, would they be a good trader? And it would be temperament. You know, how upset does someone get? You know, I struggled to lose and it was really difficult for me. I'm a big brother of there's 3 of us. And, you know, growing up, sports, fighting, whatever we did, racing, everything was a competition, right? So 3 brothers, 2 years apart, all Irish twins. When I started to lose in trading, I'm like, this is just crazy. I'm putting all this time in and I'm getting nothing for it. You feel like such a loser because you're just going, this is really a joke. Why am I even doing this anymore? until you come to the realization that I did, was like, okay, if you want to do this, you have to realize that this is going to take time, and you've got to put your competitive ego to the side and use that and harness that to get better in the moment and quit being the guy that just is like, you know, imploding at random times, and start, you know, composing yourself and understand that that's a part of it. But there's an acceptance to that, you know? I mean, there's certain people that I think that are easier to accept that than others, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that my middle brother, who's a fireman now, he's a much calmer person than I am. And I think, you know, God bless him for being, you know, he's a paramedic and fireman. But he's so composed all the time, you know? For me, I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
I've learned to slow that down a lot. It's taken a lot. But my initial instincts are always like, you know, I'm a more intense person, but I've had to harness that. That's been the most difficult thing for me. And I would say that's the only thing when you come to being a trader is that realize that your competitive spirit is going to be great for you, but you've got to learn how to harness it and use it in a different way than you have in the past.
Absolutely. I'm also emotional and sensitive and kind of all the things that would not make a great trader. And I've very much appreciated trading for, I feel like it has systematically gone through my body and like found every weakness and attacked it to the point that I've had to callous like a lot of weaknesses of mine. So yep. If I fail at trading, I appreciate it for, I'm a much, much stronger person now than I was when I started. And I know that I can be okay in very intense situations. I've gotten myself in very intense situations and, you know, by sizing too big or, you know, whatever it is, and I've survived. So I very much appreciate the strength that trading has given me. But to speak about your brothers, I have two kids and a husband, and we were playing a board game on Saturday night, and my husband beat me twice, and I was so pissed that my kids are 6 and 8, and in the middle of dinner playing the game, I was like, "You asshole!" And they were like, and I was like, "I went too far." Like, I just can't. And then the next day, we were in the car on speakerphone, and my littlest one, my daughter, we were talking to my husband's mother on speakerphone, and my daughter was like, "Last night we were playing a game and mommy got so mad because daddy was winning." And my mother-in-law was like, "Yep, can see that." And she's like, "I just am who I am. I don't know."
It's just, you know what I mean? That's why, you know, when I think about when you come into trading, it's like when you come into it, it's you and the screen. You're sitting there and you think to yourself, you know, when you're doing something wrong, it's so frustrating. But when you get to that point of acceptance that that's the way it is, that what I started to do, and I think that this is what everybody will go through, is that you just start removing yourself from that situation where you want to be like, "You asshole," right? Like you were saying, right? When you get to that point where it's like all of a sudden you're down, and maybe you're not down your limit, but maybe the day is just not working out, at that point you can accept it. But if you keep going, even though you know it, and you get to that point where you're really pissed, that's where everything starts to, you know, fall like dominoes following that.
Yeah.
You know, it's about keeping yourself out of those situations. And I know, and you know, and everybody that's listening knows that when you're down or the day's not going your way, you know at that moment you could accept it. But a lot of times you don't want to because you're so competitive, you want to win, you feel you need to win. And so you keep pushing forward and then you get to the point where you're like, "Son of a bitch."
Sure.
And that's why this game is so hard. That right there.
I used to do a thing where I'd be down like so bad, and it was when I would get in my cash account, and I would like be down so bad and have not much money left, and I would just be like, "Screw it. Like spy, zero DTs, like right, like everything I have left, I'm gonna play spy," and like would triple what I was already down. And then I was like, I mean, that's the worst feeling, too, of just, like, you couldn't have walked away on a normal red day. You had to, like, really
I'll give you some I'll give everyone out there a piece of advice that was given to me many, many years ago. And I didn't really truly understand it at first. It took me a while to understand this. A trader, an older trader, who'd probably been doing this 40 plus years at the time, said to me, he goes, "Anthony, when you're making money, keep doing what you're doing and keep saving money. When you're losing money, spend money." And I'm like, is this guy out of his mind? Because my mindset was, when I'm making money, I'm spending money.
Yeah.
Because I'm making money. And so in my mind, that's the way I felt. What I learned was that when I was making money, I thought it was enough, but it wasn't. So when I started to give money back, all of a sudden now I'm in deep shit. I have problems.
Yeah.
So I was never really great at managing that. When I started to recognize that, just keep making money, keep saving it, keep doing it, and when it gets bad, then you go and enjoy it, because it's not going to be that good forever or for as long as you think. So now you've put yourself in a position to where you don't have to be there. And psychologically, that is very difficult to get used to doing, because when you're making money, your thought is, what could I spend it on? Especially people, I don't know about you, but I come from a background where I didn't get everything I wanted. I didn't have money to go to school. I didn't go to college, you know, so I come from, you know, not poor, but didn't have the ability to just do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And when you start trading, you get that opportunity, and all of a sudden you feel like, you know, well, let me do this. So it's very difficult, but that to me has been one of the best pieces of advice anyone has ever given me, because it calms me down to know when I'm doing good, to stay focused on that track. And when I'm not, take some money out, go spend it, because it's going to be cheaper to do that than to stay there and keep losing.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. What great advice.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of those things where you could be told it, but until you try to put it in practice, it's not easy.
Yeah. I actually was talking with Oliver Kell. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he was one of the champions, right? Like an investing champion. Yeah.
And I was talking to him about coming on the podcast, and he said, I mean, this was like back in March. He was like, check in with me in June. That's when I'm going to have some time. And then I checked in with him in June, and I'm like, I'd love to get you scheduled. And he was like, yeah, I'm out of the country for like the foreseeable future. Like, I'm traveling. Like, when the market comes back, I'll be back. I'm happy to do it. But like, no. And I just thought, like, that is power right there, to just be like, I'm not going to sit there and waste my money or what, you know. He's out, he's spending it. He's enjoying it.
Exactly. You know, I don't know how old he is. I don't know much about him. But, and like I said, that's one of the hardest things to learn. Now, he trades very differently than I do. You know, I think he's more on the investor side than he is on the trading side. I don't think he's clicking every day. He may be, but, so it's very different when you talk about pattern day traders and people that come in every day. You know, there's this sense of having to be there every day, because that's where the opportunity comes in. So when you're a shorter term trader, it's very difficult to remove yourself for that period of time. You know, Oliver and probably a lot of other probably stock traders that trade, his style, like I said, I don't know exactly what it is. They're holding positions in bull markets, most likely the scenario, right? I mean, obviously there's a lot more to it, but so for them, they understand the environment. So as a day trader, for us, we feel that we build strategies around being able to capitalize on something every day. So it's a much harder scenario to remove yourself from something like that than what they do. You know, when you look at guys that also trade, I can't think of what off the top of my head or what it is right now. Maybe not just momentum, but something to where they're just in, you know, trend traders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that, right? So for me, bear market, bull market, it's more about where are we right now, and does that fit in within my strategy? So it seems to me like you're a shorter term trader too.
Yeah.
That's why the key is to take what Oliver is doing and understand that in the context of what's the big picture telling us, and be able to take that down to the shorter term day trader and look at the environment and recognize if it does suit you. So like for me, I have a strategy that tells me whether or not what type of day the day will be, or what type of environment we're potentially in. And right now, I just think we're in a sideways environment. So I either have to commit to being smaller, expecting less, and, you know, just knowing that I'm going to have to take small winners each and every day, or I can't be trading. And that goes back to kind of like where I set myself up from earlier in the year, where it was like you're doing good, and then all of a sudden you get into this sideways chop environment where we're grinding lower just sideways, and the one day you try to press because you think that's going to be the day it's going to continue, you just get slaughtered.
Totally.
So it comes down to, I think, the lesson from that is, and like you said, that's power. For the shorter term people, make sure you're doing your bigger picture homework and coming in with an idea of what the day is, and understand that you have to adjust expectations based upon environments. It's a very important thing.
So important that I'm going to take another commercial break. Hi guys, I wanted to introduce you to our new sponsor, Espinita Tequila. They sent me some bottles to try, and this is, you know, the unopened one, but I think it's so lovely. I love their branding. It's so clean and fun, and I just think it's beautiful. I also have tried the tequila, and it is very good. Like, I really like just a tequila and soda, or just tequila on the rocks. I really like tasting the tequila, and I think that this tastes great, has a great aftertaste. And, you know, tequila's popularity is really on the rise. All my friends now are drinking tequila and soda when they used to drink vodka and soda. So if you want to try that, you can certainly try this brand. They're doing very cool things as a company, and you can click the link in the bio and find out more.
This episode is brought to you by a new social investing platform called Personify. Personify is a gathering place for both stock and crypto investors to share trade ideas, portfolios, and investment analysis with a community. The app was inspired by modern investors who enjoy trading within a community and sharing ideas, but lacked a platform specifically designed for it. Traditional social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and Discord weren't designed specifically with this in mind, which makes it difficult for creators to share and learn. Personify is great because it's the only platform that specifically acts as a personal investing journal where subscribers can learn while also keeping track of their own thoughts and ideas. It's a culture devoted to learning and understanding the why behind trading strategies. It's the go-to social destination for both economic content creators as well as students of the market. Download the app and join the Personify community today.
I mean, that was profound and important. And there's so much about trading that we've done a lot of podcasts on the parallels between trading and addiction and gambling addictions and all of that being mixed up together. And it is so wise, I think, to be able to say to yourself, if I want to trade to either get better as a trader, or I like being in this environment, or I want to be in Discord, whatever the reason is that you want to trade, if you have the self-control to trade with a fourth of what you usually do, or an eighth of what you usually do in a choppy environment, but like stay there and continue to trade, that to me feels like the pinnacle of like, you're really good, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And because I've said this a bunch of times, know when to be big, small, or not at all. Identifying that is huge. It goes back to, once again, I think you're trained by what you've made money in. The market trains you. So I've made money by being an aggressive trader. So my first thought process is always to be big, because I want to make as much money as I can when I think that it's working out the way I thought it would. But you don't know that outcome. So it's very difficult to scale it back when all the money you've made has been by being aggressive and taking the most out of the market when the market was giving. So how do you do that? You know, how do you adjust yourself? And to me, this is where people talk about being disciplined or being patient. Those things come from your preparation. The only way that a trader can get to that point is to know exactly what it is they're looking for, understand the environment. That's what creates the discipline. That's what creates the patience. It's not like somebody saying on Twitter, oh, we're breaking today, be patient. Well, maybe I shouldn't be patient because it's telling me to be short. You know, so I don't, you can't relate what their patience is to what your patience is, or what their discipline is to what your discipline is. What you have to be consistent with is identifying what you believe is a good scenario or situation and what you believe is not. And you have to be held to that. That's your discipline. That's your patience. And that's where you get to a guy like, you know, Oliver. Once again, like I said, I don't know him, but we're using him because we talked about it. But it's like, that's why he was able to achieve, let's say he won that whatever year that he won, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at that, and the reason why he won is because, one, he took the most out of it. Once again, we're speaking about it like we know. We don't. But I'm saying in the context of this. Probably took as much out of it as anybody. But when the environment changed, he gave back the least. And he didn't do that because he, you know, was some genius, right? I mean, because we all want to be that genius, right? He just recognized that, look, this is what's worked for me. When this is not working, I don't make money. So I'm not going to do it. That's hard.
Totally.
That's the preparation. That's the belief in your homework. If you do homework, do you really believe in it? Because if you really believe in it, that's where your discipline, that's where your patience come.
Totally. I have gotten to the point where I got into, I mean, I'm a COVID trader. I got into like FinTwit and Discords and the community and the vibe and the people. Like I got very deep into the culture of trading and have slowly pulled myself out and then continued to pull myself out to the point where I literally do not look at anything during the day except my charts. There's no, what did I have that Twitter feed thing up where I would have like alerts on for people? Yes, I had that up. I had like 15 Discords, which I'm in, and I'm like happy to go in there and yuck it up with you at like 7 p.m. at night. But I have to just be me in the charts because that is when I know that I am seeing what I need to see or what I want to see and not seeing what someone else is seeing, because it's all that does is just throw me off like who I'm supposed to be. And it's been hard, but it also seems like you have to sacrifice some things if you really want to be a good trader, and being the fun girl is not as conducive to being like very, very, very serious about this is what I want to do. And I wanted that more.
I think you said it beautifully. What do you want more? You know, I've been doing this long enough to where I can look at Twitter and I can look at other people in, whether it's webinars or podcasts. Obviously I host a podcast too, and I talk with people. If I'm so confident in what I'm doing that if I see something else that I really like that can be an add to what I'm doing, they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like that actually can help me. Perfect example is Brian Shannon with VWAP. He and I did a show, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and we actually met, and I was watching them in person, and just and I like moving averages. I like to help them as a guide. And I ended up starting to using anchored VWAPs because of him. You know, I don't use them the same way he does. But every time I watch him and the way he goes over him, I learn something and say, how can I put this into my strategy? You know, I think that it's initially when we all start out on Twitter or in trading, there's so much information out there and we feel like everybody is successful at it that we're watching. Well, that's not the case, number one. But what we can do is we can start building things into our strategy that we learn from other people, but they've got to resonate with you. They've got to make sense to you. And I think that you don't have to do them exactly the way that somebody else is. I think that you can take things that you've learned from other people and put them into your strategy. And I think that that's what people should be using Twitter for. That's what people should be using podcasts for. You know, and I always try to tell people, if you listen to my show or you hear me talk, I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm going to teach you how I think or how to think. Because if you could take something from what I've done in my experience and you could become better, and you could learn how to think better or how to do something better in your strategy, that's where success comes from. It's not from someone telling you, you should be doing this or this works. Because I've traded strategies that somebody has told me, this is a 90% win rate, 80% win rate. And I go in there and I can't make money with it. I just don't get it. And it just doesn't work for me. I screw it up no matter what. So that's where, you know, if you're new to trading, you have to understand that you have to have that. And you said this today, you got to have that self-belief.
There's some superhero thing about, like, the most powerful people only take on things that make them stronger, and then they hold on to those things and get, like, I'm not a superhero person, but there's some kind of concept about taking on things that make you stronger and then making them, like, your own.
That was actually, like, in the X-Men, wasn't it? Where, like, if they touched you, they had their power, all of a sudden they could be like Iceman or throw the flame or something like that.
Totally.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually reminds me a lot of the Strat. I'm sure you know, you've heard of the Strat.
I've heard of it, but I'm not really too familiar with who. It sounds familiar, but I can't pinpoint it.
It's not a big deal, but there is a thing called the Strat, and it's a very specific strategy that I find complicated to fully understand the whole thing. And I also I don't really want to understand, because if I don't do my own strategy, it's not going to work. Exactly. But in interviewing people and learning a little bit about the Strat, they have this one rule, which is if it does not break below the previous day's low of day or above the previous day's high of day, so it proved to you that it's not an inside day, they're like, you just don't take the trade. And I was like, you know,
yeah,
that makes a significant amount of sense to me. So, like, I just put it in my strategy, and I'm always looking now of, like, where we are with the previous day. And it's not the Strat, but, like, it has become part of my own strategy.
Yeah, I mean, you took something from someone else and you made it your own. And what I like about that from the Strat is it proves something to them. And that's ultimately what every good strategy premises on, right? What did the market prove to me in my homework? What did the market prove to me in my strategy? If it's making a higher high and I have a bullish look, that proved to me that it's responding to my strategy. If I have a bearish look and it takes out the previous day low, it proves to me that it's responding and respecting my strategy. It's not about the price we have, it's about how the market respects and reacts to our price.
For sure. Well, so you, I'm sorry I don't know this, you have a podcast.
Yes.
Yes. How often are you doing your podcast?
So I'm doing them every week, live streams, every Wednesday, 12 Eastern.
Oh, and is it usually you, or do you have someone on?
It's me with, you know, different guests. Yeah, I mean, I've been podcasting for about 8 years now. I actually started to do it after my heart attack. So it's just on my YouTube channel. I stream live every Wednesday. Used to be obviously a lot more frequent, but everything I do is live now. And I do some other videos and stuff all on my YouTube channel. Or on my website at Anthony Crudelli. Everything's free. I don't have any subscriptions or anything like that. But yeah, I just try to educate people on, you know, really futures is my background. That's what I've done my whole career. I mentioned, you know, today I started on the trading floor in 95. And so a lot of it will be futures based, technical, macro, all of that. Not a ton of stocks, but a little bit every now and then, just how they impact the futures markets. So yeah, that's what I do.
Do you, obviously you've been doing it for so long now, you enjoy it?
I love it. I love it because for me, after having a heart attack, I looked at my life and said, what are you going to do besides this? You know, it was one of those things where I was faced with, do I just sit back down at my screen and am I just trading every day? And is that all I'm going to do? You know, like I said, at the time I was 36 years old, I looked at it and I said, I spent so much time really being an introvert when I'm an extrovert. That's who I am by nature. You know, I love talking with people and I just love other traders. I think it's always fun to speak with them, that I went that route, you know? So to me, why I like it is because it opens my mind too. You know, it challenges me, and yep, hopefully I'm helping people by me asking questions of other people and, you know, and like I said, not telling people what to think, but teaching them how to think and how to become better. Because Penny, people like you, myself, anyone else out there who's doing a podcast or has good intentions on Twitter, at the end of the day, our goal is let's try to make that number from that 95% failure rate to a better number, because let's face it, traders, we have a lot of us have a lot of things in common. We're all competitors. And most of us are really good people, right? It's just fun to chat with them and to learn from them.
Totally. The podcast is my favorite. It's my favorite part of the whole trading journey. Like, it allows me to be so inner focused by myself with trading, because it lets me be so outwardly focused into a community that I really, really do love. You know, it gives me both of those things, but it's so energy giving to me to do it.
No, it is. I mean, we talked about this a little bit too. Like, you never get an interaction with anyone in your personal life, or you never get the pat on the back. And that, not that you and I are looking at that for podcasts, but you never really get any sort of gratification besides obviously the money. That's why we do it. And we all understand that, but you're never really in that interaction with your inner circles to know and understand the things that you and I talked about today. You have to be talking with other traders for them to understand it. You and I can go talk to any of our friends that don't do this, and they're like, what the hell are they talking about?
Totally.
So it gives us an opportunity to talk with people, learn from people, and hopefully help people.
And that's the magic of being in a conversation with someone and like, you too? Like, yeah. you know, it like, I, my favorite saying, so I'm a painter too, and that was my whole, I mean, still am. But my ethos in painting was the more personal you make something, the more universal it becomes. And that ethos has also led over to the podcast of like, the more open and honest I am about what I'm doing, it like allows the guests to be open and honest, and it allows the listeners to be open and honest. And it, but there's like a recognition just between people. It's traders of like, we're all in this together, and there are things that people don't always talk about or know that other people are going through. And you have been a fantastic guest in that regard, and I very much appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Honesty is all we have, right? I mean, it's, I look at it like this. I go, I'm no better than anybody else. I feel very lucky to be in this position to be able to trade. It's what I love. It's my passion. And I'm thankful for your honesty and for you inviting me to chat today.
Oh, it was just an hour of sunshine. I feel like I have a new friend. I'm so happy to know you. Thank you for your time.
Feeling is mutual. Thank you so much, Penny.
By accessing this podcast, you acknowledge that the Penny Lane podcast makes no warranty, guarantee, or representation as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional or financial advice. Unless specifically stated otherwise, the Penny Lane podcast does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, process, service, or organization presented or mentioned in this podcast, and information from this podcast should not be referenced in any way to imply such approval or endorsement. The third-party materials or content of any third-party site referenced in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions, standards, or policies of the Penny Lane podcast. The Penny Lane podcast assumes no responsibility or liability for the accuracy or completeness of the content contained in third-party materials or on third-party sites referenced in this podcast, or the compliance with applicable laws of such materials and/or links referenced herein.